All right, so he had four amalgams put in his teeth, and it was so interesting. Shortly after that, about within 4 weeks, he said, "Mom, I have a hard time taking a deep breath." And so we took him in, and they checked him for asthma. Well, maybe we'll just give him some cortisone therapy just instead. And then they checked him for thyroid. We had so many different diagnoses. Hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, not the time, because of course it went up and down. And asthma, then depression. They decided there had to be any one of those things, not a physical cause. And so we've just went on. It became very debilitating for him. He could hardly breathe. He couldn't run. When he ran, he passed out. He just had, I mean, he was trying to play, you know, on the football. He couldn't. He just went to practice and would pass out, so we had to stop that. So then pretty soon he just got these incredible headaches. Just went on and on, total deterioration, and just within 4 weeks after having the amalgams put in. And I thought, what could this be? We ended up going to about 11 different doctors, got different diagnoses, different medications, nothing was helping him. And so finally, I went online and I began, and we finally went to three different states to find three different doctors. Each one, they were naturally oriented EMDs, each one had a piece. And finally realized that, well, okay, let's just look at, just like these parents, he was good up to here. Now, all of these symptoms happened. What happened in that time? I had to go back on my calendar and find out, oh, dentist appointments. Then had him tested. His mercury levels were very high. And he had them removed. And, you know, there's a special protocol to having mercury removed. You have to put the dams in, you know, little places to catch because of vapor. And you put little units in there to take the vapor out because, you know, it'll just really exacerbate symptoms. And he said when he came out of the dentist's office, the next day he said, "Mom, it feels like an elephant was taken off my chest. I could breathe." Otherwise he'd talk and have to always take a breath. And just such a big difference. And like you said, your friend who had MS had her amalgams removed and much better. Because for now, why did that affect him? Why could my daughter have fillings in her teeth and it not affect her? Because he had a compromised immune system. He was dairy allergic. I did milk, but then probably gluten too. So he had taken off dairy, which meant he had lots of other things. Along with the mercury, the amalgams, of course, came a fungal overgrowth because those guys love each other. Mercury will bring on the exacerbation of any fungus in the body. And so then when we went to another doctor and learned about doing antifungal therapy, oh, big difference with that. He went on and learned many of these things. So is mercury our friend? No, it shouldn't be. So, you know, remember they used to play with the mercury in those little thermometers. Serious, serious stuff. Because mercury will go in through the skin and it will make neurological changes. It loves the fat of the body, and the fat, the brain is 60% fat. And so it makes those neurological differences. Why we thought we could put mercury in something we were injecting into babies makes us wonder in the first place, doesn't it? Then we said, but why are we getting so many immunization reactions or vaccination reactions? Well, it's because we used to have just, 20 shots over the lifetime of a child. Now it's up to like 50. It's just doubled the amount. And because the other thing, they're making the vials for the injections bigger, because of course it's cost saving. The bigger it is, the more preservative you have to put in it, which is thimerosal, or mercury is the preservative factor, because multiple pokes with the needle means multiple chances of getting a contaminant in the vial. So they put more mercury in. All sorts of factors have added up to the fact that these kids are getting more mercury in their system. Then when they have mercury in their system, that clogs up the system so they can't detoxify. Then they find all metals are high. Lead is high, aluminum's high, arsenic is high, cadmium is high. All of the metals are high because, and the zinc is just way in the basement. Copper is high. And in fact, we're going to look at the Pfeiffer Institute that finds that all kids have neurological issues of copper is incredibly high in relationship to the zinc. And in fact, they went into prisons and they checked the blood, the prisoners, and they found 75% of them had way out of whack copper because it'll make you aggressive in the zinc down here. So it's So is it the vaccination effect, is it due to the mercury, or is it due to a compromised immune system, or is it due to both?
Just real quick, that's when my daughter had periodic headaches from the age of fourth grade. And 15, she had a Tdap and meningitis shot.
So the shots affected your daughter too. Her neurological reaction was constant headaches. So I think it's both. I think the mercury has no place in our body. It has no place in any shots. We shouldn't be injecting mercury in anybody. It has no place in our in amalgams. And now hopefully we can find there are many, many dentists who are doing mercury-free fillings. And that would be the first thing I would look for, because we don't need to be putting that in our children's mouth if that's what they need. So, but why can some kids have amalgams in their mouth? And why can some kids have the shots and be fine? Remember, they have to have started with a compromised immune system, in my opinion, and that's what we're finding. So we know with these children that their detoxification system is impaired. They just can't detoxify easily. And so as a result, things that a normal or typical child would have flushed through their body, they just can't. Why? We know, well, number one, there's a genetic flaw in a detoxification system, probably an enzyme missing, right? One of the things they're finding, and there's a little term, Gilbert's syndrome, which means that your liver doesn't have the enzyme to detoxify, and that means that you don't have glutathione. If you don't without enough glutathione, you don't detoxify things well. As adults, if you have Gilbert's syndrome, or it's easy to find, and lots of people have it, when you have medicine, you're one of those who only can take half of the amount because you react so to medicine. Why? Because your liver can't detoxify the medicine. There is a blood test called MTHFR where they measure the methyl tetrahydrofolic acid reductase, which is the enzyme that breaks down folic acid. So if you don't have that, then your liver can't detoxify. And these kids don't have that because glutathione is the liver detoxifier. We can only get that in foods. There's not a glutathione supplement. There's N-acetylcysteine, all sorts of things that build up the ability to have more glutathione. But right now, they do glutathione either by cream injection or by IVs, if the child needs to be detoxified. We'd rather not put a child through that if we don't have to. So the liver is often missing that enzyme, glutathione. So as a result, they have higher levels of metals and pesticides in their body. So again, if we can reduce their exposure to pesticides, they do, their liver can breathe. It can say thank you, and it can grow. So if you can, you know, the liver regenerates very nicely. We would just have to give it a chance. We have to first of all take the toxins out and put in the good things, and it will, particularly in kids. So we all know they have high metals in their body, and many of these kids eventually undergo chelation for metals. And then that's another whole many books written on chelation. There are many forms of chelation. There's controversy concerning chelation, as with everything else. Normally chelation is done, it used to be with EDTA, and they did an IV. Now they found DMSA is an oral chelation you give to a child who has high metals, and they urinate it out. The problem with any chelation is if it takes out metals, it takes out minerals. So many parents are finding that they start with the antifungal first, go to the enzymes and raw food, and go to all the other things that are going to clean up their child's diet, gluten-free, dairy-free. Many parents don't have to go the chelation route. Or if we go the chelation route, we can do it last, because many kids, otherwise when they are chelated, what happens is they get sicker because their detoxification system, those pathways aren't open. So it doesn't have any place to go. In her gut and psychology syndrome, Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride has just done a wonderful job putting down all the different protocols that heal the gut, which we know is just huge. She says what she uses for detoxification as an MD with her children, because her own child was on the spectrum. The only what she used was green drinks, raw food, and diet. She said that she found that she could gently detoxify kids rather than the harsh chelation by measuring metal levels in the lab. She could use it, they did, she did fruit smoothies all the time, but not the fruit smoothies like we make that's mainly milk and a shake. What they do is fruit. So fruit done in a blender, juicing. She said with juicing, she can basically detoxify all of the children in her practice without needing to do a harsher chelation generally and get the same levels coming down. So you're juicing carrots and juicing celery and juicing parsley and put some, you know, so juicing is different. That doesn't have the fiber. Green drinks have the fiber and they're just done in your blender. I think they're both very helpful. You can juice some, you can blend some. Blender's easier, but juicing does, is a faster detoxification. That's true. So this is kind of the morphing of the way that these parents have begun to look at chelation. Yes, metals is an issue, but metals is an issue with all the other things. You see how they're going through the other things better? So that's a thought. Not all practitioners are doing that. Many practitioners are doing chelation through the DMSA and the other ways, and so that would definitely be another way. But this is her opinion and what she is using. They have low sulfation in autistics, leading to much more toxicity. They just can't, that's a whole methylation, whole process. There are many talks you'll hear on the ASD syndrome, which will be more like a chemistry class. And I was just looking at another one online yesterday. It had every slide with matrices of the sulfation leads to the methylation, which leads to the SAMI. And that's all true. But bottom line, we're just going to talk a little bit more today about what we do about it. And we know we see it's going on in kids. So they have higher lead levels. Causes lower iron levels in the body, leading to learning and attention problems. One of the first things I noticed in my practice, not knowing about all the science, is so many of my children were pale. They would come and they looked like I had a white wall. They looked like the wall behind them. So I began saying, you know, if they weren't eating red meat, or they were eating it, but it wasn't being absorbed. So we just started using liver capsules. I get them from Pure Encapsulation, so that they're just a little more, our allergy research associates, I send for them just because they're just a little more pure, but you can get them at health food stores too. It's just dried liver. So someone has taken organic liver, they cooked it, they dried it, they powdered it, and they put it in capsules. So it's a food. And I have found when we can get the liver, remember we said they're only eating a few foods, so we take those few foods, those few pure, pitiful foods they're eating, and we open up our liver capsules. Get arachidonic acid, iron, and B12. And I have seen this many, many times. For your wanderers, those who are wandering around the periphery, the particular kids with Asperger's respond so well to this. All of a sudden, within just a few days, they say, oh, they're engaging. And sometimes their ferritin level blood test actually shows they need it. And that's wonderful. And then they engage even faster. But the ferritin level, see, hemoglobin, hematocrit won't show it. Ferritins could, and if that does, then it'll go up. So if they're little, we will open up two capsules a day, which would equal about, oh, I would say a quarter-sized piece of liver a day is what they would be eating. If they're older, we do four a day, like for an eight-year-old. If you are ever feeling tired or run down, remember the Geritol commercials, are you feeling tired and run down? There's iron, and so just try taking some liver capsules, you'll perk right up. My daughter takes some every month right after her period because she said, otherwise I'm washed out for about a week. It just feels better. So I found inadvertently through going through another route of thinking about how I could get B12 and iron into these kids and getting them feeling better because they had such an energy leak by putting in liver. And now they found that they need iron. I would much rather do liver capsules than iron because iron is, you know, iron sulfate is iron filings, basically. And this iron fumarate, you can get it in other forms. But I think God made the food. If we could take food and get all the ingredients from that, it's better. And we see wonderful results with just that change. So what if, for your parents, you would just say, why don't you just see if you can get a ferritin level checked for your child? And so it's a $20 chip test. And remember that the hemoglobin and the hematocrit is a normal count, normal test they do to check iron levels in children. But those are typically what we call normal. Remember, you want all blood tests, of course, faxed to you or sent to you, because if they're normal, I want to know where are they in that range. You know, if it's 9 to 12, or they are supposed to be 12, and there are, you know, they're 11.5, I want to know that, because that's too close, that's not comfortable. Labs aren't that perfect, so I'd want to know that. So that's normal, and that very often is. Then we do a ferritin, which is an iron binding capacity of the blood. And very often that will show up as low normal. Or we often don't do that. We just plain give the liver capsules. Why? Because it'd be the same as eating liver. Would you go and eat a blood test to decide if you need to eat liver? So, no, but it does a chain blood test, yes. So, but if people want the test, or if they ask for that, that's what that's going to look like. So I have seen wonderful changes of that. And in fact, one dad said, did you know, once we got the liver into his applesauce, he said we'd never look back. From then on, we made steady progress. Because we're feeding them the arachidonic acid, B12, and iron that they desperately need. Now they're finding in the studies, all of these kids are low iron. High lead, low iron. Low zinc, low iron. We put in zinc and iron, and we can balance out those metals. And it's so fun because within a week we saw differences in their ability to engage. Why? They finally have some energy. Have you ever been anemic? You ever been anemic? You find you just want to fade away for a while. Just want to sit on that couch and stay there. Just don't bother me, because that's a big thing. Dr. Sidney Walker, in his hyperactivity hoax book in his clinic in California, has found something that I found in my clinic too, and that is 40% of the kids are subclinically anemic. So clinically means they had their tests and everything was fine. And yet we give them some iron building foods and they just perk up and do so well. So that's a really good thing to just know, because it is easy. So of course, why do metals accumulate? Is it because they're exposed to more metals than their sibling? No, their sibling was exposed to the same amount of metals as they were. But they accumulate it because they can't detoxify it. So let's look at this closer, about this association between vaccinations and possible autism. So their study was done, and they said, well, why don't the Amish have autistic children? Because they found, this is an old study, where one in every 166 children in the United States were diagnosed with autism. Now we know it's one out of every 150. And so they said, all right, in the Amish community, there should be a certain amount of autism in that community, shouldn't they, if it's in the general population? So a reporter went out and they began to look in the Amish communities. And because, as I say, the clues come together, since they've been cut off for hundreds of years from American culture and scientific progress, the Amish may have had less exposure to some of the new factors triggering autism in the rest of the population, and they like the culprit, they believe in that, is vaccinations. Also, the Amish people eat closer to the soil, too, don't they? So they're not having the pesticides, the processed foods, the BHT, all those types of things that are in our packaged foods, certainly at a lesser extent. So those are two environmental assaults. So he says, traveling to the heart of Pennsylvania, Dutch country, in research of autism, Amish children, of Amish children, the reporter, based on national statistics, should have found as many as 200 children with autism in the community. Instead, he found only three, the oldest age 9 or 10. The first autistic Amish child was a girl who had been brought over from China, adopted by one family only to be given up after becoming overwhelmed by her her mom, and then readopted by an Amish Mennonite family. China, India, Indonesia, among countries that are moving fast to mass vaccination programs. The second autism Amish child definitely had received a vaccination and developed autism shortly after. The reporter was unable to determine the vaccination status of the third child. So they should have found as many as 200. Instead, they only found three, and in actuality, in terms of looking at vaccinations, only one as far as they could tell. So this is Dr. Mercola. He has lots of information about this. A very good doctor, by the way. What they found is that children who receive thimerosal-containing vaccinations are 27 times more likely to develop autism than children who are not. So it's clearly an environmental assault. Can this child's constitution handle that assault when you don't have any symptoms? If this child's constitution can't handle the assault, then it's bowled over. Dr. Pfeiffer of that HRI-PTC stands for Human Research Institute, PfeifferTreatmentCenter.com. Dr. Carl Pfeiffer originally wrote many years ago Mental and Elemental Nutrients. And he found that kids and teenagers who had white spots on their fingernails were exhibiting a zinc deficiency. They often had a zinc deficiency even without the white spots, when the zinc is low, copper is high. And he found that to be a real causative factor for many, many types of ADD, ADHD, SI, all the way to schizophrenia. And so he looked at that. Well, he now has studied a lot about autism, and Dr. Walsh is now taking over because Dr. Pfeiffer isn't alive anymore. And Dr. Walsh has been doing a lot of studies about this and the causative natures of autism. He says, we believe that autism is the result of an inborn error of metal metabolism, followed by victimization by heavy metal before age 2. Gina, we're also getting many more children who are having all sorts of caps on their teeth. You know, their enamel is so broken down. And in fact, in the lower socioeconomic areas, we see this even more, but really it's pervasive. Caps on their teeth because the enamel is broken down. Remember, we said one of the real big components of the enamel is vitamin K. Where is vitamin K made? In the bacteria of the gut. So the antibiotics would wipe that out, wouldn't they? So one of the things that we're finding is many kids that I see, and the parents said they went to Children's Hospital and they put them under so that they could do all of their teeth, and they capped them and filled them. Many, many more kids with caps and fillings on their teeth. So they're getting an early assault of metal, aren't they, in that manner? An early assault of metal through vaccinations. Just lots of different assaults on their body, and it just overwhelms this fragile immune system that they have. We know there's the toxic link to autism. We know that the genetics is really just about vulnerability. So when they say there are two factors, there's genetics and there is the body's having to have an environmental assault. The genetics is they are vulnerable. Compromised immune system. So now we're going to look at some other nutrients. I guess I should introduce this before I just put it up. So now we're going to move from some of the causes, what to do. So some of the nutrients. What nutrients are these children missing that we could put in that will make a remarkable difference right away? And much of the research is that parents say when they gave their children cod liver oil, they saw speech coming. In my experience, I have found that speech issues when they're little and cod liver oil is just a huge correlation. In fact, I wish all speech teachers would give to their parents a page that of information that would tell them about the correlation between child having difficulty with speech, either delayed speech or articulation, but much more so delayed speech, and the increases in speech with just plain old cod liver oil. It's one of the things we used to give kids, didn't we? We used to give them cod liver oil. This would probably be a good time for a break, right? Let's just go ahead and take a 10. Okay, when we're thinking of, let's explore the detoxification system just a little more. Some children have, as we talked about, real detoxification breakdowns. Their system can't break it down. You're talking about doing oral chelation, about doing IV chelation, or about doing juicing, green drinks, and raw, all to get the metals out. But there's another theory, and you can look up, also so interesting, look up iodine and detoxification. Iodine is something we used to have many, many years in foods. We now have it, of course, in iodized salt. But salt, we're all low salt, aren't we? So no one's getting their iodine from that. There's just in micrograms in there. Many years, for 20, as of, oh, I think almost 10 years ago, bread was preserved with iodine, and now they use bromine. If you remember your high school periodic scale from chemistry, which I'm sure you all have that in your head, that we know that bromine, or bromine, will displace iodine because it's heavier. So before we were getting more iodine, and now we're getting instead something that displaces that. And they are finding that iodine is probably one of the best detoxifiers there is. And what made me think about this is one of the moms asked during the break a very good question. She said, have I seen the correlation? And I hadn't, and we could discuss this, but if there truly is correlation between, she knows 20-something moms who have their children in the 20s, 22, 23, 24, seem to have fewer children on the autism spectrum. And in her experience, it tends to be moms who are in the 30s. Did I understand that correctly? And I said, that would have to be something to be thought about. Interesting, because we know that many times when children are born with Down syndrome, they tend to be mothers who are older. Now, why is that? We'd like to know, well, what is it about older moms? And they found basically their thyroid was impacted. And as we get older, you know, many times by the time you're menopausal, large number of women are at low thyroid. And so your thyroid begins to be less and less efficient as you're older, because one of the things we know, the zinc oxide, superoxide dismutase, the whole thing affects the thyroid. And one of the things that they have found that really helps with these children born with Down syndrome is to start early intervention with thyroid. Dr. Turkel, Dr. Harrell's research have found that they have seen, and we even have before and after pictures of children with Down syndrome. First they look edematous, you know, the eyes, the cheeks, the stomach, because they're putting on fluid, because of course low thyroid. And then after thyroid treatment, and you can use a natural thyroid, but the natural thyroid has to be prescription. If you use a thyroid you get from a chiropractor or from a health food store, it's not standardized, so you'll never know how much thyroid you get in each one. So they saw the physical changes, but often a 10-point change in IQ. So they found that thyroid, low thyroid, is an issue. So could that be, is that a possibility that maybe as we're getting older, maybe our thyroids were impacted? The other thing that we know is, again, another increase we're having is hypothyroidism in children, in adults, young adults and older adults. And what feeds the thyroid that we've known for years? Iodine. Why did they start putting iodine in foods, in salt? Because they found that it created goiters in the goiter belt of the parts of the country that didn't have enough iodine in the soil. They got goiters. Minnesota was one of those states, large goiters. And so they said, you know what, where do we get iodine? We get it, of course, in seafood and in kelp, which of course the Japanese have no problem with thyroid problems because they're being fed iodine just constantly in their diet. They have seaweed in various forms basically every day. And so what they found is that we weren't getting enough of it from our inland bound, where we were getting no seafood. So they started putting it in salt. And for a while, the goiter rate went down tremendously. Now, everybody's afraid of salt. And so nobody's eating iodized salt. So as a result, we're getting more and more hypothyroidism. But what's the other piece? Iodine is a natural detoxifier. It will detoxify the body. It's an antiseptic, isn't it? Isn't it what we used to use on our cuts? It's what we should still be using on our cuts. Because iodine absorbs right through the skin. And so Dr. Brownstein has written a book on this, and there are many articles. You're going to find there are probably about 100 articles out there on the influence of iodine. And of course, I use this in my practice. Let me see if I can write on this. So if you'll go to www.drbrownstein, Brownstein.com, He has a book on iodine therapy. He has a clinic in Michigan. And he finds that children and adults do so well on one tiny little amount of iodine a day. There's another website that you can go to, and it's www.iodine4health. Iodine, and then the number 4, health.com. The reason I began studying this, because I knew that many other detoxification pathways were hard on the child. And we were saying, why are they not detoxifying well? And iodine is a natural detoxifier that we know that most children tend to be low in. And so he has a book on iodine and iodine for health. What I was wanting to look at is cognitive abilities in children. When I was working with children, then many of them, they said, they're low IQ. I'm getting so many now that they say, well, they're testing in the 70s. Okay, your child doesn't qualify for services because they're just low IQ. Mothers would come and say, you know, I thought they had a learning disability. They're saying they're low IQ. Now we know some of it, of course, is in the testing. When we change from the WISC 3 to the WISC 4, we know we're seeing some, we're having to do some tweaking in our understanding of the IQs. But I thought, you know, Dr. Harrell, Ruth Harrell, and Dr. Turkel, 20 years ago, wrote impressive articles on this. And in fact, the very first article I ever wrote when 20 years ago, when I was teaching after school, writing on my little typewriter, all of it, didn't know where the article was going to go. But I decided I needed to write an article because they had a critical mass of knowledge and I needed to put it someplace. And it was, my first article was improving symptoms of mental retardation using natural supplements. And it's still out there and kind of like used because it wasn't my ideas at all. But I put together what Dr. Turkel and Dr. Harrell had made in a formulation. And they gave these kids vitamins, rich, high vitamins, much higher in B12 than anything else, and iodine. And they found a 10-point change in IQ in these children. And they said the stars of the show were the Down syndrome children, but even though the ones that weren't Down syndrome but had that. So what cognitive ability in iodine is huge. And so as I was researching that, I realized many, many articles on the detoxifying ability of iodine. And it made sense because it feeds the hormone system. And I wonder, just wonder, because of course future is always going to be studied and we're going to see things, maybe a place to look at is what's the thyroid status, the iodine status of the mom who's pregnant when she has some of these issues with the children. Why we're looking at why are they immune compromised. So what Dr. Brownstein does and many others, he just has a good website. He has videos on his website. So it's just something that you could, it's a good educational video. So one of the things he does is he gets Henri Lugol's iodine. In fact, I don't know how many of you have read Dr. Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis is an old folk medicine doctor. It's called Vermont Folk Medicine. And this is what he found. He was working in Vermont as a medical doctor, but they're all on farms. And he began to study animals. So he found that when he put some iodine, not the kind that you put in your cuts, food grade iodine, in our kelp, just got, you know, bundles of kelp and put it in the water of the animals, that they didn't get parasites, that they gave more milk. They didn't have the high bacteria count. Wouldn't it make sense? Iodine's antiseptic. It's what we put in our water if we're gonna go camping, you know, so to keep the water free of bacteria. Remember we said the bacterial and viral growth in these children we think is one of the causative factors. And so he began doing that. And pretty soon the farms that were following his routine of using iodine and kelp in their foods, their animals were put in their vet. They didn't have high veterinarian bills because they didn't have mastitis, they didn't have the grubworms, they didn't have all the diseases that everyone else, that all the others were getting. In fact, he said it's so funny because, you know, there is a certain little parasite worm kind of thing that gets in the hoof of a cow, and then it goes all the way through and then gets on the top of the cow, and you can just see it. And he said, but the ones who had, every all of them got it to some degree, but the ones who were in iodine, by the time they had them, they had two or three of them on the top of their body, but they were the size of the tip of a pen because they had to work so hard in that body saturated with iodine. The others were the size of a, like a eraser head. So then, as a medical doctor, he would have children. The parents would say, oh, they never settle down. They're just running, 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 running. Basically what we would call hyperactive. And he said he has never found a hyperactive child that didn't settle down with iodine therapy. So you could first start using kelp. Kelp is a very good thing to do. The only problem is kelp comes in micrograms, so it takes about 10 of them a day. They're little tiny little capsules. Or you can start cooking with it. Did you know you can get nori sheets, N-O-R-I, have you seen those? Nori sheets are, it's one of the seaweed forms that, N-O-R-I, nori sheets, you get at the health food store, they have them teriyaki flavored, and they are basically seaweed that the Japanese kids use all the time. They snack on them. Hawaiian kids snack on them. Get iodine into their system that way. Or you could just maybe add some kelp tablets, if they will, or if you get your green drink tasting good, add a little bit of kelp to that. The other solution, this is what Dr. Jarvis did and what Dr. Brownstein does. They got Henri Lugol, came up with potassium iodide in solution that he used. And now we're kind of using that as a way to look at that. So it's called Lugol's, L-U-G-O-L, Lugol's solution for iodine. It's a food grade iodine. And this is what Dr. Jarvis said. Each drop contains about 6 milligrams. So he gives the children one drop on Tuesday, one drop on Saturday. He does 2 days a week for little kids. So when I have my little twins come to my house, my 8-year-old twins, prior to going to school, they come there because my daughter, they don't start school till 9:15, and she needs to be work at 8. And I said, great, I'll have them here. So we have oatmeal and all the vitamins, and they get iodine twice a week. We're having a lot of fun. Grandma does things in a different way. So what we're, so they say, oh, is the grape juice day? So I put that in an acid medium. So we use Welch's grape juice, and we put a drop in them. We show them how you very carefully put the dropper to the side, so you only get one drop down. And it's just so fun to see because they can fight off illnesses so much better, because it's an antiseptic. So Lugol's solution for iodine is what they use for that. And this is what we're finding. It tends to detoxify, and metals seem to change. I think it's going to be an area of growth that is going to be picked up even more so in the ASD community. Because what if you gave your wonderful SI children, who everything bothers them, iodine, because it feeds the nervous system. So iodine for health, it's something to consider and something to look at. As you can imagine, I take it because I take everything I talk about, because I want to first see, you know, I'm going to grow another arm, you know, if that's going to help, I think maybe that's not a good idea. But it's just something to consider. Remember that all the things that we're talking about here work for kids who are not on the autistic spectrum, who are not on any spectrum, who are just plain not diagnosed with anything, but you want to make life easier. So even though we're speaking, if it works for the children who are the most chemically upset and the most in disequilibrium, of course it'll work for anybody else, won't it? And so Dr. Jarvis helped us a lot with understanding the iodine, and Dr. Brownstein has expounded on that and helped us understand. And in fact, they use iodine for, they say, anybody who has fibrocystic breast disease. If you take iodine, you just see them melt away. There are many, many cases of that. They found, interestingly enough, that women in Japan who have such a high intake of kelp or iodine through seaweed or seafood, they have no fibrocystic disease of the breast. And they have very little breast cancer. And in fact, they smoke more than this country, but they have almost no lung cancer, because iodine is very protective and very detoxifying. And I think that's going to end up being one piece for the kids on the ASD spectrum, but well, we do it for kids who aren't on the spectrum. It's just plain healthy for them. So those are some things you can ask your doctor about or check on. So I wanted to not leave detoxification without that. Now we're going to get into another area that is real exciting, and that is the areas of nutrients that these kids are obviously missing and make a big change when you add them. And one is essential fatty acids. Oops, let me just, I get to do my eraser. Let's just erase all the things that I wrote down here. We know that fats are essential for the proper functioning of the brain and nervous system. Remember, the brain is 60% fat. So then in the nervous system, the myelin sheath is really made of fat. So these kids don't have a buffer. It's like they don't have a cushion, between the world and their nervous system. So they're keeping themselves very rigid so that things don't come in and get into their nervous system. So they order their environment so that doesn't happen. But what is that cushion made of? That's myelin, and that's the fat. That's why universally, all these kids, either on the spectrum or off the spectrum, do well with adding fats. And in our diets, we have denatured fats more than any other foods that we have. Now, we add a lot of additives, for sure, but we have denatured the food by taking any live fat out of it because it wouldn't withstand any shelf life at all. Many children with autism are missing the enzymes to break down the essential fatty acids, therefore they're deficient. So then they need more fats. We found this with kids with ADHD, kids with ADD, dyslexia, and dyspraxia are all needing more oils than we thought anybody needed. I'm thinking why they need more oils, because they're not breaking down what they have. So by giving more, you help them. And so by the enzymes would help with that too. Let's look at a little more about fat. The myelin sheath, we know, coats and protects the nervous system. It's made of fat. Let's look at the brain model. We know that we have two sides to our brain, the left and right, connected by a bundle of nerves called the corpus callosum. And the corpus callosum is incredibly important, the midline. In fact, we were talking about using brain integration therapy for dyslexia, for auditory processing problems. That's the study we're doing at one of our schools up in the Boulder area, using brain integration therapy to help kids make leaps. Many, many things cause growth and we have wonderful programs in place. This is leaps, leaps in reading, leaps in auditory processing. Well, in order for the left and right hemisphere to work well together, we need to have many connections. And these connections have to cross this corpus callosum, which acts as a transmission center for signals from the left to right hemisphere. Let's look at what physically the corpus callosum is made of. And we know that if you look at the brain in color, you'll see that all the coating over the axons are fat. We'll see that the corpus callosum is white matter. They refer to it as white matter because, of course, it's the nerve endings. The type of, it's made of, 60% of the brain is fat. And the type of fat it's made of is DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. We get it in two places, in mother's milk and in fish oil. So remember when your mother or your grandmother said fish is good for you, fish is brain food? It absolutely is. And that's why cod liver oil are its variations. Such an important part of any neurological healing for any child. We also found, of course, it heals the immune system. So, in fact, UCLA School of Medicine found something interesting. They found that boys have a 3 times higher need for DHA than girls. And again, we said because estrogen is the hormone fired in utero when girls determine to be a girl. Estrogen is a fatty carrier because it makes eggs. Testosterone is not. So in our population, we have more boys than girls that struggle with any one of the issues that we've talked about, right? Whether we just start with bedwetting, to ADD, to ADHD, to SI, to Asperger's, to autism, any place in there, it's all more boys than girls. And now we know, of course, that the oils run the immune system. So what happens is we need to feed that corpus callosum the oils. When we do, then we get the more connections between the thinking brain and the doing brain, between the auditory and the visual, we get connections, and language. Because many times when these children don't have language, we're teaching them using like sign language and pictures, aren't we? Because this guy isn't working very well. So when people come to me and they have auditory processing problems, I say, my method, there are many others, but my method of healing auditory processing is repatterning, we use that brain integration therapy, and oils and less of them. And that's when we begin to see the changes. Language responds very nicely to oils. If I have a three-year-old who, as the parent said, they're talking, we're getting the language delayed, we're so concerned about them, we need to come for an appointment. And I said, well, you can, but why don't you first try just good old cod liver oil and see. Because our three-year-olds are more neuroplastic, we can buy with things a lot, with fewer things with them. So let's explore essential fatty acids more. We know that essential fatty acids runs two systems, the immune system and the serotonin system. Remember we said we would have this group of children lined up to get their midday Ritalin? As that line grew longer, so did the line grow longer for the kids to line up for their asthma medication prior to other inhalers, prior to gym class. One, the essential fatty acids was affecting the serotonin system, the other was affecting the immune system. In some kids, it'll affect immune and serotonin system. Otherwise, it'll affect just one. So it's a very important thing for us to know about. There's much research coming out about the oils. The brain and child's immune system and serotonin system. We know the brain is 60% fat, 30% is in the forebrain, which is required for sustained attention. Dr. Michael Norton, author of Beyond Prozac, uses essential fatty acids to increase levels of the neurotransmitter serotonin in his patients. And in fact, he has stories of patients who couldn't comply with taking antidepressants because of the side effects, or because they just didn't like what it did, or it wasn't working. And when he added essential fatty acids, which is going to be fish oil, evening primrose oil, or something like that, GLA, and vitamin E, he said that on the Hamilton Depression Scale, the impact that had. In fact, they went from their 29 points, I believe, in the Hamilton Depression Scale. He had like 27, this one particular man, and he began taking high oils, and in, I think it was the next time he was tested in about 4 weeks, he was down to like zero on the Hamilton Depression Scale. He got tired of taking the oils and thought, okay, I'm healed, I'm cured, and what happened is it came back again, the depression, and he realized he needed to take them, because the oils are what was feeding his serotonin. And that's one of the things you said with Tara, was helping her too with the essential fatty acids. Many pieces to the puzzle, but this is always one good piece. Yes, a question?
How much fatty acid, if it's a capsule?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
So, Dr. Andrew Stoll, the author of The Omega Connection, he uses fish oil to treat bipolar patients in his Harvard Medical Practice. It's a wonderful book out there called The Omega-3 Connection by Dr. Andrew Stoll, where he puts down all of his studies. And he was looking for something that would act as a mood stabilizer that didn't have the side effects of Depakote, lithium carbonate is what they use, or Tegretol, those types of things. And the more he studied, every time fish oil came. As he studied more, he discovered that mothers with postpartum depression always were low on the essential fatty acids. And they gave them once they got the oils, the serotonin levels went up. They found that bipolar children and adults did so much better on the oils because of the electrical activity of the oils. The fats are electron carriers, and it changed electrical activity in the neurological level, so that their depression was affected. They're bipolar, and he found it for postpartum depression and for ADHD. What do the following have in common? Kids who have asthma. These are all, what they have in common is all response to essential fatty acid supplementation. Allergies, ADD, hyperactivity, kids with dyslexia, kids with dyspraxia. In fact, the book written by Dr. Jacqueline Stordy, S-T-O-R-D-Y, it's called the LCP solution, found that in families, when children have ADHD, ADD, dyslexia, or dyspraxia, that runs in families. And it runs in families where the families are low in the LCP, stands for long chain polyunsaturated fatty acids. And so when they're low in that, they pass on ADD. They pass on ADHD. They pass on dyslexia or dyspraxia, which is what they call the clumsy child syndrome. Under a substrata under dyspraxia would be dysgraphia, kids who can't write. And we're seeing so many of those. So if you're a child who's having trouble writing, oils would be a great thing for them to take. Speech problems. I just love the fact that cod liver oil in little kids always impacts speech positively. Is it going to take care of the whole problem? We don't know. Sometimes it does. Sometimes they say, oh my goodness, the speech came. Other times they, of course, still need to add other things. But it's always a positive impact. Prematurity. One of the studies they did at CU, they found, the CU hospital, they found that when they gave mothers who had premature babies, at risk to have premature babies because their previous birth had been premature, that when they gave them high DHA or fish oil, that they were able to carry their baby to full term. When babies were born prematurely, they knew that the last 6 weeks in mom's womb, or last 4 weeks really, they draw all the DHA from mom for the retina, the eye development, and brain development. But the premature babies didn't have that opportunity. So one group of premature babies, they supplemented with the fish oil. It saw dramatic changes. But later on, as they followed them, no retinopathy, no problems with the eyes, greater connections of the hemispheres, we assume, because we didn't have learning disabilities. So, in fact, you can, denverpost.com, if you want to go to that and go to their archives, and just Google in DHA and babies, and you'll see that whole study. Immaturity. Do you know there's so many things that we can help, but we don't know how to help a child who's just immature. We can help them with reading, help them with writing, get rid of the dyslexia, but we go out in the playground, and there are these children, and they just can't interact. Their nervous system's immature. When we know that the nervous system is made of myelin, is coated with myelin, we know that the fats, and that's one of the things Dr. Jacqueline Stordy found, is that the oils help with that maturity. Behavior problems, because of course the aggressiveness, all those things, the SI. Kids with high SI symptoms can look like they have behavior problems, but they really are just suffering from the nervous system. So it helps with kids with behavior problems, and we found all kids with Asperger's children, of course, like everybody else, respond very favorably to the essential fatty acids. So how do we know? We want to just think about this. What are some of the physical characteristics of a child who has essential fatty acid deficiency? Well, dry skin. When I send out my questionnaire to parents and I ask them to fill that in so I can figure out what is going to be the priority for this child, one of the things they say is dry skin. Now, isn't that interesting that kids usually have very supple, moist skin? But we need to feed that nervous system and feed that skin, and then it will be. Asthma. Kids respond very well to oils with asthma. In his book, Super Immunity for Kids, Dr. Leo Gallen talks about that a lot, talks about the immune system reaction that is so good with kids who have asthma. It's just something we'd like National Jewish Hospital to tell parents about, because it just is a real help. Warts. If they have bumps on the back of their arms, they're telling you that they have an essential fatty acid deficiency, because that gets better. Did Tara have that at all?
Oh, yes.
Did she?
And her mother did too.
And her mother? And they went away, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That's right. Just a, just an outward sign of what's going on internally. And her daughter reacted real well with a mild, she had a mild depression with using the essential fatty acids too. So you see, we only use the outward symptoms to tell us what's going on inside. Essential fatty acids are just great. The dry hair, many times we have pictures of kids, and at the end of the year, their pictures should, their hair should reflect light. So many kids' hair doesn't reflect light anymore because they don't have enough oils in their system. Because why? We're putting artificial fats in everything, and we're lengthening the life of that. We could almost a universal deficiency of our children would be essential fatty acids. Just whether we have symptoms or no symptoms, it is just a deficiency. Because where are you getting it in food? How much flaxseed are you eating a day? How many times a week do you have fish or seaweed or the areas where we can get those? Really not, right? And yet, everything we have that's in a package has a hydrogen added to that oil, so the hydrogen molecule then displaces in the brain any place that good fats can go. So I really think it's just an absolute universal deficiency, and we get good reports from them. Eczema does very well when you add oil. In fact, Dr. Leo Galvin says if your child has eczema, rub some evening primrose oil into their body. That they said if a child is hyperactive, a little toddler, said give them a little massage at night, and instead of using just olive oil, use evening primrose oil. One mom took evening primrose oil and added Epsom salts to it. Because what very, very relaxing, isn't it? You can do even Epsom salt foot baths at night. Just put their feet in a little warm water, have it be a little routine, a little ritual before they go to bed. If you're somebody who just doesn't like to settle down, and through the nerve endings of the foot, all the good minerals will come in. White spots on the fingernails tells us they likely have a zinc deficiency. A zinc deficiency means that if you are low in zinc, you cannot convert any oils. It has to, zinc has to be there to convert and utilize the essential fatty acids. Particularly my teenagers and especially my teenage boys, I see this. Chapped lips, some kids carry that chapstick around like it's their best friend because they just have chapped lips all the time. So those are just some of the physical symptoms. Let's look at the behavioral characteristics of children with essential fatty acid deficiency.
You mentioned flaxseed, that's high in essential fatty acids.
We'll talk about that in just a minute. So what do we see? Kids who have attention problems. When they have attention problems, then we know that they respond very well to essential fatty acids. Impulsivity, the little nervous system can't give them any time to hold on because it's that immaturity. Anxiety, kids who are highly anxious. One of the studies that they did in Purdue University is they found that boys who had behavior issues, and this is how they define behavior issues, highly anxious and highly impulsive. And they did blood draws on them to see what was going on. I always find that fascinating, that we had highly anxious children that they did blood draws on. Wouldn't you like to have been in the lab that day? I wonder how they got that done. But either way, they did blood draws, and they found that the children who are impulsive and had high anxiety were very, very low in the essential fatty acids, particularly the omega-3s. And we'll talk about what makes up the omega-3s in just a little bit. We know from Dr. Jacqueline Storti, they're displaying symptoms of dyslexia or any reading disorder that is not as severe as dyslexia, or dyspraxia, which is a clumsy child syndrome, or dysgraphia, which is a writing, fine motor incoordination, or ADD and ADHD. We know from the double-blind placebo-controlled studies that these children do very well with essential fatty acid supplementation. She did her study that was written up in medical books, and she has found that she took one group who had ADD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and she gave that group a placebo. And the other group, she gave the protocol amounts of DHA, which is fish oil, evening primrose, and vitamin E. after 3 months, because it takes about 3 months, it appears, to change a child's chemistry using natural supplementation. So after 3 months, they tested them. They pre-tested them, then they post-tested them, and in her study, she has all the test results. They saw significant changes in just plain with one addition, and that's the essential fatty acids. That's not changing diet, that's not doing antifungal, that's just that one addition. So we all do well with that. Oh, kids with sensory processing disorder, as we looked at them, they do nicely with oils. What we see is their ability to transition, be relaxed and flexible. I think about it this way. Remember now we have such sophistication in our cars, but remember when the dashboard of the car used to be more brittle and you would have it out in the sun for a while, and that's always the area that cracked. And so if you were diligent and wanted to keep it from cracking, you would put what armor all, and you'd put you'd rub a good oil in there, butter would have worked. So just rub a good oil in there. Well, that's the way I see these kids as, when they can't transition well. Rigid, no, not a change, no. They can't handle that. And let's just oil them up. Let's oil them from the inside and let's get them to be flexible. And I think it's the very same thing. You know, they always thought about that with arthritics, and because for a long time, cod liver oil was one of the main things that helped with people with arthritis. And in fact, do you know what cod liver oil has in it? Iodine. Because what is it? It's a fish. And we're not even sure, is it just the oil, or is it the fact that that's adding an iodine to them? So at any rate, with arthritics, when they would get the oils, they found they had a lot more flexibility in their joints. I mean, the nodules didn't necessarily go down, etc. Much more flexibility. And it's just that oils add flexibility, and isn't that what you think of with an oil? You rub it in anything that's dry and cracked. Their sensory processing system is dry and cracked, and so we need to oil them up. These kids who seek deep pressure, why is that? Because their coating is so thin that when you put pressure on them, it helps. I always put my kids in a big beanbag chair, an overstuffed beanbag chair. It's like a little bit like being in the womb. They are happy. Lots of times they like to put lots of cushions, they get under the cushions of the couch. Or they go to bed at night in the summer with lots of covers on them, even though you don't know how they can stand it, but that weight. Temple Grandin, as we know, has her book, Seeing in Pictures, and many other books on what it's like to be autistic. We would now know of as Asperger's. She's a very famous professor up at Colorado State University. She works in the agricultural area, has a PhD, speaks all around the country, and has written books. She talks about her life as a young child with high sensory integration issues. And she said in those days, they had to wear skirts with petticoats. She said, oh, she'd just drive her crazy. She absolutely couldn't do that. She said the scratching, the noise was so loud, she just couldn't stand it. So then, of course, she couldn't wear jeans in those days, so she just had to wear everything soft. She remembered how her whole day she planned ahead to keep as many outside stimuli from bothering her. She likened it to, this is why she got so good working with cattle. She's so good with cattle that she has developed chute machines. She has developed all sorts of ways of dealing with cattle and keeping them calm during great big transitions, moving corrals, branding them, etc. She travels to Australia and all over showing people how to handle animals. She said, I learned it from myself. Because this is what she found. She said it was amazing on their farm. She would watch her dad doing the cattle branding. And they'd just be so afraid, because of course movement, they were out of their corral, what do? You know, all bawling, eyes big. And she said, then they'd get them in the chute, and they'd close the sides. And she'd see them just calm down, that pressure. She said, then they could brand them, even all of that, she said, didn't bother them, as long as they were calmed down. So she makes entryways into the barns. She said you have to keep it very narrow, but it's important not to have anything new. What will cause cattle to stampede? Just a little reflection of a metal. Toing! Because they can't handle the transitions. That's the way she was. She said, I couldn't handle any transitions. So later on, she developed her own machine And the machine was, where she sat, it's hydraulic related, she laid in there with her head out and she had pushed the buttons and it would be like the chute. It would close in on her. And she said she found that if she stayed 1 hour in the squeeze machine, as she calls it, for good pressure, 60 pressure, she spent an hour in there, she could go through the whole day without SI symptoms. And so later on, she found some antidepressants helped that also. What do antidepressants do? They raise what? Serotonin levels. What's the number one food for serotonin? Essential fatty acids. So she's just a marvelous spokesperson for someone who could come out of autism and Asperger's. But she still talks about how she tries to keep her world pretty planned. So if you haven't read her, but that's also the kids who sleep to need pressure. Hyperactivity responds very well to essential fatty acids. So let's look at how can we supplement. So that would be the question that you had. I use Dr. Jacqueline Storti's protocol. Not everybody needs to use this, but we've had good success with that. There are other ways to do it too. She found that it took 500 milligrams of DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, to make the changes that she needed to see in children. Now, when I see many families, they say, oh, yes, we're doing oils. Yep, we're doing fish oil. They get one a day. Now, what they need to do is look, it always takes more than that. Now, if you're going to do a liquid, a Carlson's has a lemon-flavored cod liver oil where one teaspoon gives you almost 500 milligrams of DHA. Nordic Naturals is just a wonderful cherry-flavored, strawberry-flavored, lemon-flavored. They have chewable capsules. And parents often say, yes, we're doing the Nordic Naturals DHA Juniors. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. They taste really good. They're a clean vitamin. You only need 20 of them. Okay, what else can we use? Because you see what we're not realizing, no one's looking at the amounts. We didn't know until we did the studies, of course. We need to get as close to 500 milligrams of DHA. All the fish oil supplements will say 1,000 milligrams of fish oil. Yes, that's putting EPA, DHA, all the other things together. But you have to look at just the DHA amounts that are the neurologically stimulating. Now, what's another omega-3 besides fish oil? Would be flaxseed oil. Is flaxseed oil good? It absolutely feeds the skin, good for the nervous system, but none of the studies show any neurological change with flaxseed oil. So you want to keep giving it. If you're giving it, your child's taking it, and smoothies are such great oil. It's a wonderful oil. But when we want to make these neurological changes, we need a higher chain fatty acid. So if we just look at our chain, let me see if I can have a chain for you here a little bit. The higher the chain, the more neurologically active it is. So if we say the 29 chain fatty acid, the highest so far that we know is like uric acid. Remember Lorenzo's Oil, that movie about the young fellow who had just had twitching and seizures and all of that, and the dad found that uric oil, adding that to his diet, really kept the twitching and seizing down. Well, we don't use uric acid because it has some toxic effects, which is why he couldn't get anyone to work with him. So we bump back down one chain and we get 28 chain, and that's going to be octocosanol. And octocosanol is found in wheat germ oil. And in fact, Dr. Carlton Fredericks has used octocosanol in the feeding tube of children who were in comas and got them out of comas. MS people do very well. People with MS do very well with the addition of octocosanol. Now, for our children that are gluten sensitive, since it comes from wheat germ oil, they can get it from spinach. There are other sources. But octocosanol is a very nice fatty acid. So we're going to bump back one chain down, and we get 27, and that's where we're going to get our fish oil. It's a nice high chain fatty acid. The higher chain, the more neurologically active it is. So if we get down to, it'll be something like 18 is going to be flaxseed oil. Flaxseed oil is very good, but flaxseed oil has no DHA in it. It's supposed to convert to DHA, and all the bottles say will convert to DHA, and if you have a typical enzyme system, you would be able to convert it. None of the students I work with have typical enzyme systems. So we do the flaxseed oil for one level if you want, but mainly we focus on this. By the way, butter is butyric acid. Butyric acid is a 17-chain fatty acid. So that's why flaxseed is good, but the studies that we have seen that make the biggest changes are going to be in the fish, but you can easily do both. Flaxseed's better tasting, isn't it? We have to do everything in the world to cod liver oil or to fish oil to make it taste good. Whereas flaxseed can be very pleasant tasting and easy to put in. So if you need to start there, that's just fine until we get a child healed. She also added an omega-6 because she found that an omega-6 is needed to balance out. Omega-6, she got hers from evening primrose oil. I do too. You can get it from borage or barrage oil, from currant, from black currant oil. There are other areas, after experimenting with the different ones, we just found, I personally found, I get better results, evening primrose oil. And then we always add a vitamin E, because vitamin E is necessary to protect it. So you can take these separately, or you can take them together. Children who can swallow tablets or capsules, then you can get this in a formulation, Dr. Jacqueline Storti's formulation would be Nature's Way EFA Blend for Children. And in order to get the protocol amounts, if they're ages 5 to 6, you would do 4 capsules a day. Lots of 4-year-olds swallow capsules, by the way. If they do, and they want to because brother is, fine, then they can take about 4 a day. You can't OD on it. If you OD on it, you get what? Diarrhea. Because it makes everything slippery. If they're over 6, it takes 8 of these capsules a day. Now, they're very small. They're smaller than the size of a regular vitamin E. Lots of times parents will say, well, that's too many to take. And that's fine. Mostly the parents don't like it. The kids are usually okay with it. But you can do combinations. You can do all sorts of different ways to get this. You can do various others. Carlson's are Nordic Naturals. They have a Pro DHA or a Max DHA, which are great big tablets, or capsules, gel caps. But each one, only 2 of them we need for 500. So, you can find ways what works best for your child. So just information of what works. If the children who can't swallow tablets or capsules, and this would be my children with sensory processing issues, then we use a Coromega pudding-like fish oil. And it takes 2 of the packets to equal 500 milligrams. You would read the labels and find that. Or a liquid cod liver oil. Many nutritionists will say the very best source of oils, fish oils, if you could get it in your child, would be a cod liver oil because it has the A, vitamin A, and vitamin D in it, and a better source of iodine. So if you can, that's what many of these kids do. They have lemon flavored, orange, Dale Alexander's is orange flavored. You'll find many different good flavors. They're not expensive, so do an experiment and see. But there's not a child that doesn't seem to do well with that kind of oil. So then we need to add an omega-6, and evening primrose oil is just a wonderful thing to add. You can, in fact, one of our grandchildren, the mother was giving him, give about a teaspoon a day. And she said he was 4 years old. She would give it to him right off the spoon, and he carried the spoon around all day and kind of give it a lick every now and then. They wrote called cattle will go miles for a salt lick. That's how much he needed it. Why? He was a highly allergic kid. Highly allergic kids are often missing the delta 6 desaturase enzyme. So they're missing an enzyme that doesn't break down omega-6s. We get omega-6s from mayonnaise, from butter, from safflower oil, from olive oil. Those are all omega-6 sources, but they can't break it down. So this is the one that often we use to massage them. If you're going to put it in a smoothie or a drink, evening primrose oil goes in anything because it has a fairly pleasant taste. you wouldn't want to put cod liver oil into any of your smoothies, because that would do it. The cats would like it a lot. Just, you'd have cats from all over the neighborhood saying, I want that drink. And then we always add a little liquid vitamin E, because one of the main things we have, and I don't go much into chemistry in my talk, but the chemistry is there and it's very real. These kids are all suffering from oxidative stress, which means that we need more antioxidants. Vitamin E is a major antioxidant. I have a brother-in-law who is a heart surgeon at Stanford, and then later on at Sharp in Memorial in San Diego. And he said that he always made sure that his patients had at least 800 milligrams of vitamin E, or I use international units. Said because so much of heart disease is oxidative stress. But these guys, about 100 a day, you can either put, you can get it in drops. Some kids just take it, 5 drops on their tongue and it tastes good. You could put it in something. Again, evening primrose and the E taste fine. It's just more of a putz for mom to do it, but it tastes fine. It's the cod liver oil and the fish oils that we have to get real creative with, but it's worth getting creative with because it makes a nice difference. So we tried to make it less complicated than it really looks like. You know, you could send your husband out just to get, really all he had on his list was see diapers. Okay, then he thought maybe that would be easy, but oh no, you can get diapers for boys who crawl with a train design. Are diapers for boys who jump up and down and yell, which with a car design on it. Or you can get diapers for boys who wiggle around a lot with the David Letterman design. Or diaper for girls who stand up but don't walk with the doll design. Or diapers for boys who wrestle with dad a lot with the elephant design. Or diapers for girls who should be potty trained but aren't with the cow design. You think it's simple. Isn't that the way it is going in a health food store? I just want some vitamin E. Oh, which guy? Oh, my goodness. Which is why I tried to give brands, not because I'm selling brands, but because if I could just narrow your search down, I think maybe you'll have some better success when you go there. We're going to talk about now basically the mother of all fats, a fat that's been around a long time and makes such a wonderful difference, and that's my favorite friend, which is lecithin. It has our two favorite words in it, less and thin. The source is eggs, soybeans. We're going to use granules only. And for children who are allergic to soy, generally we find they're allergic to the casein in the soy, but they're often not allergic to the fat, which is what lecithin is. You didn't think there was any fat in a soybean, did you? But they got it out of there. Just like kids who are allergic to the casein in dairy, frequently, nothing's always, but frequently can handle butter because that's the fat of the dairy. Do you see the difference? So it's worth a try if they don't have anaphylactic shock with soy, I mean, if they don't have that kind of a IgE response. Many times they found that if they increase eggs, if your child can handle eggs, if it's not on their allergic protocol, then eggs are an incredibly good source of lecithin. It's in the yolk. So when people have egg whites, it's just hysterical, you know, that they would have the non-healing part of the egg, because it's the yolk that has all the nutrients, the iron, the lecithin, all the things are in the yolk, our granules. When they take them, and these are studies that were done at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. We see these all over. Lecithin is an incredible calmer to the nervous system. One time I had a wonderful young man named Brian, 17 years old. He was just delightful in every way. But one of the things I'm seeing him for is his mother said he had intrusive thoughts. So I asked Brian, I said, what would an intrusive thought look like to you? And he said, well, it's like when you're opening up the dishwasher and you are taking out the silverware and you see sharp knives in there. And you say to yourself, oh, I better put that sharp knife away before I hurt somebody with it. He said, oh, really? Those kind of intrusive thoughts. Well, and here was this most wonderful, delightful, sweet fellow. And his mother, when he said it, was blanching as he says it. And so what would you call intrusive thoughts? And she said, yes, it's what he's had for years, and they just didn't know when they tried various medicines, et cetera. And so, interesting, we talked about, we did, of course, what do we always start with? The auntie-uncle, right? You all know that now. We all start with that. So we started with that. That helped a lot. I sent him on his way, but I told him, I gave a, give a week-by-week program. And I said, so we at week seven, said, let's add lecithin. Lecithin's going to start calming him down. I told him about the study that they did, or actually, study and incidents, in Bellevue Hospital, in I think it's in Baltimore. What they found is they had a man come in who was just fully manic, full manic attack into the hospital. No clothes on, thought he was Jesus Christ. You know, and they said, they've been studying the association between lecithin, lithium, and the liver. And they said, three L's, easy to remember, right? They're in correlation. And those, so they said, before we give him the typical medicines to bring him down to earth, let's try the lecithin. They did, I think, 3 or 4 tablespoons of lecithin, and it brought him back to earth out of his manic attack. Because the coating of the nervous system, the myelin, is made 90% of lecithin. So they talked about that. They believe that one day lecithin was going to replace all medicines for manic attacks. So anyway, I don't know if that's happened, but with this young man, as he went home, it was the next week, and he was doing better, but somebody came into their house to fix the air conditioner, big noise, big commotion. Another came into the house to do something else. That was too much for his nervous system. He started pacing and pacing, and his mother said she remembered about the lecithin. So she thought, what's this going to hurt? Went to the health food store, got it. He took 3 tablespoons. I don't know what they put it in. May have taken it straight off the spoon. Anyway, took 3 tablespoons. And he said, within 20 minutes, he could feel himself calm down. Lecithin is a good calmer of the nervous system. It's been proven in many ways. It settles down hyperactivity. Dr. Ben Feingold, with his Feingold diet years ago, when he knew to take out colorings and to take out dyes, all those kinds of things, he said, before the kids go to school and when they come back from school, you give them lecithin. What does lecithin do? It helps break down all the essential fatty acids in the body. If you want to see this, just take like a beef roast, you know, that you make, and you know, you see the marbling of the fat on the top. Just take a tablespoon of lecithin and sprinkle it and watch it break down and emulsify all the fat so it can get into the body. All the cells of the body are coated with that fat. The membrane. And so lecithin helps break down the essential fatty acids. It improves chemical brain activity. The MIT study said the chemistry and the electrical activity of the brain changes for the better with lecithin. It improves the auditory memory, acetylcholine. This is the neurotransmitter that Alzheimer's patients have none of. Acetylcholine helps with short-term memory. What did I come up to this room for? Type of memory. It improves intelligence and thinking.